That is on growing spiritually in the Lord. Spiritual growing is what I have entitled my message tonight. You can probably recall a time when you had some relatives come, and or you went somewhere to visit and you hadn't seen them for a long time, and they commented about your children. My, how tall they have grown. My, what a change. You are a big girl, you know, or something like that. How much more do you think our Heavenly Father would like to say that of us? My, how you have grown. God desires that we grow in Him. I'm taking my text verse from 2 Peter 3:18, one of the last words of Peter before he was crucified and left this earth. And his concern was that you and I grow in grace. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. And we'd like to explore that just a bit, but grow has the idea, simply means to wax rather than to wane, to increase rather than decrease, to grow up, mature, strengthen, to grow. And I understand that this word in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, but is in the present tense. It means now, grow in grace now. It's not something in the past. Not I have grown, but are you growing? Grow. Keep on growing. Grow in grace. Do you have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ now, at the present? Are you walking with God? I believe God would have us walk, as our brother said, in an obedient love relationship with Him. You're walking with Him. See, the Christian life is a walk with God. It's not just a one-time experience an event that I become a Christian and I'm a Christian from here on out. No. It's conditional. If ye continue in my word, Jesus said, then are ye my disciples indeed. Continuing on with the Lord. Now, I'd like to, first of all, go to John chapter 3, St. John. And we all know that we must come by way of the cross, by repentance, being poor in spirit, mourning over our sins. And Jesus said it another way. I think it includes all of that. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that ye must be born again. Let's read John 3, verses 5 and 6 and 7. 5, 6, and 7. Jesus answered, John 3, 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How are we born again? Well, according to the words of Jesus, we are born of water and of the Spirit. Water and of the Spirit. Water, what does the water typify? The Word. I know some would say this means that we're born again when we're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I tend to disagree with that. I believe that the baptism is important. And if I would understand the scriptures, this water here would refer to the Word of God. We're born of the Word of God, by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit. And we see that throughout Scripture. These two, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, are key to transforming our lives. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, he says in John 14. Flip back to 1 Peter. I love that book, and I'm going to just look at a few verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Just looking at a few verses here and there. 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, or maybe another way of saying that is being kept born again. We're born again by it, but we're also kept by the word of God, like it says in verse 5 of chapter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I believe the word of God is keeping power, keeps us from going back into a life of corruption. You see, the word of God is powerful and it is living. The Bible says so in Hebrews 4, and I know you know it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And sometimes we don't know what that is, but it's able to do that. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's why when we read it, it can convict us and it can challenge us and it can minister to us and it can show us our needs right down to our motives, right down to the very core of our heart. God's word is like a mirror, James. Like a mirror, shows us up, shows us what we're really like, and how high his standards really are. The word of God is so important in our growth and in our walk with him. John chapter 6, back to St. John again. Let's just look at a few verses there. In John 6, verse 51. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Jesus was saying, if you eat of me and you drink of me, you'll live forever. This is not referring to communion, as our dear Catholic friends would believe. I don't believe so. I think it simply means that he that eateth and drinketh from this life-giving book right here eats and drinks of our Lord. Notice the verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These are life-giving words. Life-changing words. Life-giving. That's why Christian Aid Ministries puts up billboards with scripture verses that convict people, that speak to people's hearts. And that's why the telecounselors will tell them to open the book of Matthew and read a chapter a day and ask the question, who is Jesus? And people's lives are changed by it. Isn't that amazing? It's the power of God's word. And the Spirit making it real in their hearts. And the Holy Spirit can do the same thing to you and I tonight. It can make these words real and rich and precious to us. And I trust they are. I trust they are. Now in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we make so much about preaching. That's why we believe it is so effective. That's how our faith grows. That's why it's important you bring people to church so they hear the word and exposed to the powerful word of God. How else will they hear without a preacher? Or unless you tell them, you're a preacher as well. When people are exposed to this life-giving word, it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which he pleaseth. Exposure to God's word is so important. What you feed on grows. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. It's just that simple. Yes. And one of the best ways, and a good way to sow to the Spirit, is simply read the Word of God. Fill your mind with it. Fill your mind with it. If you want to continue onward and upward, I would say this is one of the first and most important ways that you are going to grow. This is our diet. This is our nourishment. This is our life. In the physical life, if we, you and I need water, and we need bread, we need food if we're going to live. So it is spiritually. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Yes, you can't feed on junk food and expect to be healthy physically. Same way spiritually. Your diet is mainly hunting and sports magazines and romance novels and Reader's Digest and Good Housekeeping. I'm not saying it's all bad, but I'm afraid it'll dull your appetite for God's word. It could. Don't neglect your time with God in his word. Make time for it. I think we need to, in our day, when we're so busy, make time for it. Take time. Shut yourself out, away from the telephone, and spend quality time with the Lord. That's just about what we've got to do in our days. Learn of him, not just about him, but draw life from him. Learn of him. 2 Peter. Let's go back there to Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I'd like to read a few verses there. This is one of my favorite. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Now I want you to note how he encourages us to grow, to add to our faith. Simon Peter, and a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You see how that salvation and that faith is brought to us through the righteousness of God. Grace, he says, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice where he says in verse 2, grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace, we've been talking, we talked a little bit about that. Grace, what is grace? What is grace? Help from God. It's divine help from God. Divine enablement. Divine life. That grace, that divine help comes by knowing God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Through walking with God. He goes on to say his divine power is given to us. Everything we need, God's grace again. I think that's divine power. That's God's grace. Gives us everything we need for physical life and spiritual life. Spiritually and physically. Everything we need. And according to verse 4, that's why these exceeding great and precious promises. That's why God gave us that. His word, his truth. So that you and I can be partakers of that divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. So we don't have to live in bondage to ourselves and in bondage to the world and all its corruption and lust. You and I can experience divine help through that new nature that he puts in us. We're in the flesh. He takes that proud, stubborn, hard, unyielding heart, that heart that's bent and twisted towards evil and sin, and he can change that. He gives us a new heart, a soft heart, a heart of flesh, it says in Ezekiel. Well, there's some things you and I got to do if we're going to keep on growing. We've got to exercise, just like you do if you want to grow spiritually or physically. You know, if you want to put some muscle on, fellas, you're not going to sit around and just eat. No, you're going to have to exercise, right? You're going to have to exercise. So it is. There's some things you've got to do. Add to your faith. We're not just going to coast into heaven. Lord, just bring me home, you know, and just easy going. You're going to have to strive to enter in. You're going to have to give diligence, the Bible says, to make your calling and election sure. It's going to take some effort. Yes, it will. It says, put on, add to your faith virtue. Someone defines it as moral excellence. Be clean. Be pure. Be holy. righteous, honest, people of good report, virtuous, virtuous people. Add to your faith knowledge. Put these spiritual truths into practice. Do what you know is right. These, the knowledge, the truths, of the Word of God. Add to your faith temperance. Spirit-filled Christians are temperate. They guard their appetites. They guard their lusts. They bring their body in subjection. They set limits. They say, no, I won't go there. No, I won't look at that. No, I won't do that. Because I know that wouldn't please God, and it wouldn't bring glory to Him. And I aim to please my Lord. So add to your faith temperance. Patience. Oh, we need that. We've got so many people discouraged. Patience is endurance. Oh, don't be surprised if you find so many temptations in your life. I have them too. But God cares for you. Be strong. Be patient. Continue strong. Add godliness to your faith. Not just outward acts of righteousness, but inwardly. Where you actually want to. There's an inward quality there. Such as the fruit of the Spirit. And it just comes forth out of your life. Godliness. And then brotherly kindness. Just that beautiful family spirit. He's my brother. I'm gonna bat for him. I'm going to be there for him. I'm going to support him. And help him. Just like you would for your family. Add to your faith charity. And I'm not certain of all the implications there. But it goes even further, where you love your enemies. You love those who don't even love you. You reach out. Brethren, I think of that verse right now where it says, do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. That jumps out at me. We're supposed to do good to everybody. I mean, if we're supposed to bless those that curse us, pray for them which despitefully use you, and do good to them that hate you, what are we supposed to do to the church of God? It should be so much easier to respond. But sometimes we have a hard time, even in the church. Especially to them who are the household of God. Add to your faith virtue. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. You won't be bored. You won't feel useless. You will be productive and useful and fruitful for God's glory. Exercise. Yes, we need it. Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age or mature, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As you grow and as you study and as you develop and as you minister and as you serve, you grow and the Lord continues to take you deeper. And the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. Study. Another way would be to say, look for ways to show yourself approved unto God. I don't think that simply means just get in there and try to study, but study. Look for ways that you can show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God will show you his will for us. Yes, he will. Holy Spirit will give you discernment. Exercise yourself in love. We talked about that. Cheerfully doing what you're called to do at home. Young people, children, and so many needs in the church. Yes. Be a servant. Go help a busy young mother. Clean up or mow a widow's yard. And the list could go on. You put it in there. But have that servant's heart. Exercise your gifts in the church. We could talk about that. Don't shy away from having devotions, young men. Or talking to someone about the Lord. Fathers, I have fond memories of my daddy taking me at least twice to New York City on a street meeting. But Dad went with me. And I was with him when he was talking to other people about the Lord and on the job. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Let's take those opportunities to minister and be a witness and a testimony. I love that scripture in 2 Thessalonians. I think it is 1 Thessalonians. I have it written here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul was saying there to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians 1 it is, verse 5. Let me just read here what it says. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a testimony. What an example. What a megaphone they were. The word went out that this church here in Thessalonica is such a blessing. And their example and their testimony and the word of the Lord went out. I would just love to see that happen all over in our communities, in our Plain communities, that the word would just go out to the neighbors. What love. What a blessing they are to us and to each other. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness, the Bible says. That ye exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but exercise yourself rather unto godliness. This means, can I say it? Little interest in sports, little interest in vehicles, little interest in bodybuilding, little interest in recreational things. I'm not saying you can't have any. I'm not against all that, but I think it can be out of balance fairly quick. Rather invest your time in things that count for eternity. And those things can, if done correctly. How about taking off to a cabin? Have you ever heard of somebody taking a vacation, went to a cabin to read? Just take off a week, I'm going to go read. Read the Word of God, and I'm going to have some fast time, and I'm just going to draw nigh to God. I'm going to do some writing. I'm going to have some good stimulating discussions with my brothers. I'm going to do some witnessing, sharing Christ with some of the people out there on the street. We just don't hear that very often, but it'd be all right. But we can do that every day. Right at home, you can do that. Another thing we need, we not only need a proper diet, a nourishing diet, we not only need exercise, but we need rest. If you're going to grow properly, in a physical sense, sufficient rest is critical. Feeling of tiredness comes from all those waste materials that collect in our muscles and brain, and rest gives the body time to get rid of that. Spiritually, we need rest too. There is a rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4, let me just read a few verses there in Hebrews 4, 8 through 10. Read like this. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I'm thinking of this rest as being taking care of the salvation question. Has that been settled in your heart? Are you at rest? Are you at peace? Has that been taken care of? Have you ceased from sin? Are you at peace tonight? There is a rest. And perhaps you struggle with an oversensitive conscience. I don't know. Wondering if you've really confessed everything. I don't know if any of you young people ever feel like that, but I just want to encourage you tonight, anybody, God is faithful and will bring to your remembrance if there is something. Simply yield your heart to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Bask in his mercy and forgiveness. Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust the Lord. Throw your burdens on him. I guess one of my burdens tonight is that as Christians, we don't just live in a vicious cycle. Turn to, Deuteronomy chapter 2. I have a verse here. Deuteronomy 2, this is the children of Israel. And I'd just like to read a few verses. They had, they had taken their journey into the wilderness. And let's just read verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 2, the children of Israel, we turned, took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Here they were, going around the mountain many days. Here's that mountain. But notice what the Lord said. The Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. It's time to go up. You've been going in circles long enough. It's time to move up. It's time to go ahead. It's time to grow. I'd like to take that in the spiritual sense. So often, we just have a vicious cycle. Or we may have something of this nature. Up and down, up and down. Is this really the normal Christian experience? Where we just confess and then we fail. And then we confess and then we fail. And we sin every day. We're just sinners and hope we make it. And we have our high points and then we go down. And then we have our high points and it's just like a roller coaster. God told Israel, it's time to quit going in circles. It's time to go north. It's time to go up. It's time to grow up. That may be a little better picture of what our Christian experience should be like. Yes, we're in the flesh. We're human. But I have a hard time with this fact of people saying we sin every day. Folks, the Lord Jesus came so that you and I could be delivered from sin. If we can be faithful and if we can be victorious for 1 hour, surely he can help us be victorious and faithful. Certainly. I think we can. I think we can be victorious. But each of these junctures right here depict a time when we may have failed. But each of those junctures, at each of those points, we need to come to the cross. When the Lord reveals something to you, immediately confess it. Immediately bring it to the cross. Immediately bow yourself in brokenness and humility and say, oh God, I'm sorry. Don't go to bed. Don't let it go long. The problem is we let this go on and we hide it and we don't allow the Lord to take us higher ground. If you confess your sins when the Lord makes it aware of you, you're not going down. No. You're not going down. You're going to go up. He'll give you grace. He'll help you. Like we heard last night. Those who humble themselves at the cross find grace to help in time of need. Come to the cross and there find cleansing. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in that grace. Maybe we should put sort of small. I drew a stick figure of a man carrying his cross. Take up your cross and follow me. It doesn't mean you're going downhill when you fail. If you come to Jesus and you don't hide it, and you are honest and you are broken, you're going up. And you, there may be times when you, but you come to the cross. Come immediately to the cross, and you're going to go continue on with the Lord. We don't have to live in failure and defeat. Let's kneel and pray together. Can we do that?